Why? Because you're in Leviticus. You're in Leviticus now, and you're not reading a story anymore. What are you reading? You're reading things like, well, I won't read that. But if the priest comes and makes an examination and the disease is not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean. And Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself and shall make the atonement for himself and take the entrails. And what do? You quit. Why? Because you lost the story. And once you lose the story, you quit. Now, this is an important point because when people lose the narrative thread, they lose interest. There was a book written not too long ago called Why Johnny Can't Read. And in that book, it said that one of the main problems with teen suicide today and depression and anxiety among teens, and I thank God that we have over 60 teens in our study tonight, is that our teens today have lost the narrative thread of their life. They don't know where they came from, they don't know who they are, and they don't know where they're going. Even though they go to church every single week, they don't know who they are, where they're at, or where they're going. They've lost the narrative thread. And when you lose the narrative thread, what do? You go in search or you despair. And a lot of people despair of reading the Bible when they can't keep the story in front of them. And so one of our goals here in the Great Adventure, A Journey Through the Bible, is to provide you with a structure whereby you can read the Bible like Gone with the Wind. Read it like a story. A number of years ago, the movie Titanic came out, and it was a blockbuster hit. And it was sort of a microcosm of the world on a ship, where you have celebration, you have romance, you have disaster, you have heroes. Remember that at the end on the ice? Jack, Jack, Jack. Jack was a hero, and girls that were ages from 10 to 18, some of them went 8 and 9 times. Why? Because they like boats? I don't think so. They went 8 or 9 times because they are in search of a story that has a hero, that has sacrifice, romance, challenge. And they're hoping that it'll happen to them. Well, the good news is that you and I have been introduced now to the greatest story ever told, with greatest sacrifice and passion and love that the world has ever heard. If you cannot get hooked on this story, there is no story you're going to get hooked on. This is the greatest story ever told. Now, if we read the Bible, some people, when they run into, you know, the situation where they can't read through it, what do? They treat it like a magic book. And so they do this. Well, it's all God's word, isn't it? And then the next day, and they treat it like a magic book, which it's not, and they lose interest in doing that also. If you read Gone with the Wind that way, well, in fact, I have a copy of Gone with the Wind right here. I just happened to. I don't know how it got here, but Let's say, for example, I'm at work, and I go to work, and my friend Frank says to me, "Listen, Jeff, you know, you and I have been friends for a long time, and, you know, we've had bumps in our marriage and so forth, but I've been reading Gone with the Wind, and it's changed my life." And I think, what a fanatic. What a Margaret Mitchell thumper, you know? Frank, isn't it enough that my wife and I, Emily, go down to the reading room once a week and get a chapter or two? Isn't it enough? Jeff, you need to be reading Gone with the Wind every day. So after a couple of weeks of hearing him, I go down to the bookstore, I go in, I buy a copy of Gone with the Wind, and I come home. My wife says, "What is that?" I said, "It's Gone with the Wind." Frank says it's changed his life, and she says, "Jeff, don't be a fanatic. Isn't it enough that we go down to the reading room once a week and read it?" "Well, I don't know. You know, he's saying it's changed his life." So that night, by the bed stand there. I pick it up, and I think to myself, I'm going to go through. It's a big book. I shall hate you till I die, you cad. You low down, low down. What was the word she wanted? She could not think of any word bad enough. Scarlet, please. He put out his hand toward her, and as he did, she slapped him across the face with all the strength she had. The noise cracked like a whip in the still room, and suddenly her rage was gone, and there was desolation in her heart. I think, my wife says, how was it? Oh, it's good. It's good. It's good. And I'm thinking, what did Frank get out of that? So I think the next night I'm going to give it another shot, you know? So I go to right there in the middle. Suddenly she swung about rigid as a pointer and stared with horror-struck eyes down the hall, down the covered passageway toward the kitchen. Somewhere between the hall and the kitchen she laid the baby down. Somewhere she flung off Wade's grip, slinging him against the wall. She burst into the... Frank's a nice guy, too. She burst into the smoke-filled kitchen and reeled back, coughing her eyes, streaming tears from the smoke. Again, she plunged in, her skirt held over her nose.
Wow.
My wife, how is it? Oh, it's awesome. You should read it. The next night, I think, well, I'll go back to the end of it. Maybe it's better at the end, so... As choice a collection of mules in horse harnesses as you could group together, said Rhett, his voice going into a soft drawl. Did you have a good time at those parties? Speak up. No, sir. Why not? I don't know, sir. Mammy says they're white trash. I'll skin Mammy this minute, cried Scarlet. Wow. How is it, dear? It's awesome. Now, how long would it take me to get the story if I did that for 20 years? The truth is, I would never know the story. But after doing that for about 5 years, I'm telling you what, I could tell you something about Rhett. And I could tell you something about Scarlet. And I could go on and on and on about Atlanta and how it's bad in Atlanta and hot in Atlanta. And I could go on and on and on, and you'd think, man, does he know Gone with the Wind? The truth of the matter is, I don't know the story, but I know a lot of little things about the story. And I can persuasively convince you that I know the story. That was me as a 25-year-old pastor. I got up and gave great talks. But I didn't know the story. And that's where a lot of us are at today. We've lost the narrative thread. Now, what I would like to do in our time here tonight is to show you a way to read the Bible that will set you on a reading plan for our entire study to show you where we're going, that I think you'll be excited about. The key to reading the Bible, like Gone with the Wind, is to skip Leviticus. That's one of the keys right there. Do me a favor, forget about Leviticus for right now, okay? Don't go there. What we're going to do is we're going to take the very complex and we're going to simplify it. And this is really the method of education and learning. Start with the big picture. What is the big picture? This is a car. What does a car do? We don't start with a carburetor and try to figure out what this whole thing is. We start with the big picture. It's a car. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take all 73 books of the Bible and we're going to reduce that down into 12 periods of salvation history. 12 periods of salvation history that can be easily memorized. Now, when I taught at Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio, I said to my students on the first day, tomorrow you're all going to be tested. And they said, tested? On what? And I said, on the whole Bible. I'm going to test you on the whole Bible. And they're like, what?